For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
And welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there, well, that's Devin. That man down there, that's Mello. That man over there, that's Chris the Wild Man. That man down there, that's Silky Smooth JR. And you are you. And hopefully you know who you are. You are watching the OHIO podcast with the Buckeye Boys with us tonight as we are going to try to do a five-man weave. You guys remember basketball practice? You had the three-man weave. Then you threw the fourth man in there, and it got a little interesting. And then you had five men. It was a total chaos. That's probably what's going to happen today. Or, like Blue Wolverine just said, the Brady Bunch.
Chaos is good.
What's that, Chris?
Chaos is good.
Chaos is good. Yes, you're right. Chaos is good. Mello's frozen in time, it looks like. We've been...
Emma?
Yeah, you are frozen in time. Jump out and jump back in, Mello. I think that might help you there. I'm also getting a weird buzzing sound. Anybody else hearing that?
I hear it.
I'm not.
I don't hear it.
I hear it. It's Devin.
I got my fan on. Let me turn it off real quick.
We are going to work our way. Now, the reason why we've got all five of us on tonight, other than the fact that we're just trying to be the Brady Bunch, is the fact that next week we want to do a huge Sunday night. Yeah, that helped. Thank you, Devin. A huge preview show for all of us. Every single one of us talking about the season that's going to be coming up for the Buckeyes. So we thought tonight we'd bring all five on, see how this goes, and hopefully it goes well. We're about to find out. So interesting topics tonight. Mello was at the David Sanders announcement. We're going to talk to him, let him give his two cents. We've got JR and Devin were both on Juck's live show yesterday. You guys did great, by the way. And so they've got their takeaways from that. And then Chris and I, well, we're probably ready to just go jump off a bridge when it comes to Justin Fry. So this should be awful interesting tonight. And then on top of that, we have the announcement of the Block O, the captains of the team. And by the way, Ross Bjork has done more in honoring Archie Griffin in the first 3 months that he was athletic director than Gene Smith's entire tenure as athletic director at Ohio State. How in the world is that even possible? That's all going to be coming tonight. So that being said, we'll get the greetings out of the way. This is the OHIO podcast for the official Ohio State podcast of Fansided Scarlet and Game. Head over to scarletandgame.com. Check out the audio version of the OHIO podcast. If you don't like the way our faces look, we don't blame you. Listen to the audio version. And we are also the official Ohio State podcast of A College Huddle. Go over to thecollegehuddle.com and you can check out our podcast as well as 72 other of our friends and family around college football, as well as the Big Ten Huddle that JR manages over there, the SEC Huddle, the ACC Huddle, the Big 12 Huddle, and there's a bunch of Group of Five guys hanging out around there as well. So it's all going to be a lot of fun when you guys head over there. All right, guys, let's jump into this tonight. David Sanders is going to be going Rocky Top instead of being a Buckeye. Mello, you were there. We're going to give you the floor first. Tell us about your experience, what happened, the feeling in the room, et cetera. We want to hear from you.
So, obviously, I have egg on my face. I picked David Sanders to come when me and Dev made our predictions on our first episode. Devin, you were right, so I salute you.
I don't like that.
However, Providence Day School, for one, is an awesome facility, awesome campus. It looks like a college campus. It's immaculate, and it probably costs close to $40,000 a year, if not more. They had food there, so that was cool. The part that wasn't cool is when I was sitting down behind his grandmother and the volleyball coach of his sister and the track coach. They looked at me. I was wearing all red, all Ohio State, hat and shirt, and the volleyball coach looked at me and she started to say, I don't think you should be wearing that. But the grandmother elbowed her and told her to be quiet, and they just stared at me. And then the volleyball coach was like, well, it's great marketing. And that's when I knew it was over. I met a guy that podcast for Tennessee, and he said one of their insiders was there. I guess he has a similar position with Tennessee school as Berm does for Ohio State. And I didn't see any. What's that?
No, keep going.
Oh, I didn't see any Ohio State insiders. So I had a good feeling well before he announced that he was not going to Ohio State. I knew it was going to be Tennessee. And let me tell you, I do not like teenagers anymore. They're all in my face screaming, Vols, Vols. And I just told them, like, well, he won't even see a SEC championship game, so we're going for a natty this year. Have fun with that. And then I just hightailed it out and went to my daughter's game. But it was a cool – it was very interesting, you know. He's very well put together as a 17, 18-year-old kid. And I mean, Tennessee got a good still.
Yeah, they got a good one. They got a good one. And so I'm going to kick it over to Devin next. Devin, you were on Juck on the Buckeyes yesterday, and Juck on Bucks, and got to, I guess, see it in real time as well while podcasting. Your initial thoughts of how that all went down, my man.
I wasn't too surprised, you know what I mean? But I had hope, you know what I'm saying? But it was a gut punch, man. It was a gut punch because it's a position of need, not want. And, you know, it just kind of, dude, it sucked. We got to do something with O-line recruiting. I want to so bad go into all this other stuff I've written down. I know we'll get there. But for me, position of need, not a position of want. I hear everybody, you know, already stating the whole nil thing, Tennessee offered this, man, this was just a recruiting loss. It's okay to lose. Dude was a five-star, but we lost him. You know what I'm saying? We got to figure out what we're going to do now with the O-line, where we're going to turn, what are we going to do, and then maybe make some adjustments in coaching or strategy or whatever, but something needs to happen, man. But it doesn't have anything to do with losing David Sanders or Josh Petty or anybody. It has something to do with the fact that where do we go? You know what I mean? So, yeah.
All right, JR, you were also on with Juck. And so I want to kick it to you next, man, and get your thoughts of yesterday's announcement.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody watched Juck, they kind of have my thoughts for most of what happened at the time. I guess the thing that I have been continuing, and we can talk more about this as we go, continuing to think about and ponder is what David Sanders said there at the end, which was Tennessee just recruited me harder. And I just go back to no weekend visit in July after everything was done. You didn't try to do that with him. Justin Fry's out here offering half as many as some other schools. And so he's not even the one putting in the most effort for guys like David Sanders Jr., who is literally going to create the entire perception of him for the entire fan base. Like, I don't know. Like, sure, maybe there was other stuff going on. I don't know if it's a Ryan Day issue where he wasn't recruiting him. I can't imagine that's not the case, because I know Ryan Day recruits all these kids like crazy. But at the end of the day, I mean, if he's not going to be trying as hard when he's offering less guys than all these other people, like, there's no excuses. You can't continue to keep somebody on staff who is not able to recruit, especially one of the most important positions, to get numbers on. It doesn't necessarily have to be five stars. We've all heard the stories of how many three stars get drafted and stuff like that. Doesn't always have to be five stars, but you have to get numbers. And it's quite obvious Justin Fry is unable to do that.
All right. The scowl on your face, Chris. There's a song that my first wife used to like to sing to me. You say it best when you say nothing at all. The scowl on your face, Chris, right now says it all, man. All right, go for it.
This is what happens when you've got a coach who leaves his recruiting to a former player instead of doing his job. This guy is a joke. JR and I have been saying this since the Missouri game. This guy needed to be ousted. He should have been the first coach replaced. He is ridiculous. The guy cannot close. We haven't seen him do anything as far as development goes. And, I mean, let's face it, we've lost now Sanders. We lost out on, help me out, the kid that went to Georgia Tech. Petty.
Josh Perry.
Perry.
Thank you. You know, this guy misses and misses and misses. And, you know, I'm surprised he's landing our in-state guy. He can't land an out-state guy to save his life. The only reason he's getting any recruits at all is because his in-state guys are committing, and they would have committed 90% of the time anyhow because they're Ohio guys who want to play at Ohio State. The guy's a joke. He's got to go. And I don't know what it's going to take for Ryan Day to see this and make the move. I don't know if Chip Kelly needs to stick a foot up his backside and say, hey, Ryan, this guy's not doing the job. You got to make him go. This guy needs to be relegated to, well, first of all, he needs to be relegated to unemployment. You don't want to kick him off the staff, make him an analyst and get somebody in there and do the job. But this guy is not getting the job done on the recruiting path. We're not seeing it in development. I don't see why he's here.
Okay. Let me go way back in the time. Let's get into DeLorean and go back a little ways. There was a time when this podcast first started many, many years ago. I met Coach Studd personally, had a conversation with him, had a great conversation. It was at an Ohio State ice hockey game. He was sitting right in front of us with his family. And I remember him talking to me, and it was a great conversation about offensive line recruiting and development and just coaching offensive line and what it's like. And the comment that came away with me, he said, you have to be willing to evaluate everyone and not listen to the so-called experts when it comes to offensive linemen. And I thought that always stuck with me because, yeah, he would go after five stars and he landed some of them, but he would also go after some development guys. He always had a good mix of linemen coming through the program. And hindsight's 2020. He has the back problems. He has surgery. He can't go out and recruit. He can't even coach. That last year, it was Wilson that was coaching the offensive lineman, not him. He was pretty much a lame duck coach at that point because of his physical issues with his back. And so he, you know, Ryan Day, you know, moves on from him because he has to have somebody who's willing to go out there and physically can go out and recruit, right? But that conversation with Stud has led me to think that Justin Fry is just lazy. I think he's just lazy. Juck has, and credit to Juck, and I don't know if he'll watch this episode or not, but credit to Juck for being the first one that I know of to point out the lack of offers that he was giving, followed up with then his change in philosophy mid-season, and how that this has blown up in his face. So I credit Juck for being the first one to talk about that. But when you have 11 Warriors putting an article out about him being on the hot seat, you know you're truly on the hot seat when that publication says you're on the hot seat, because they're about as soft as a baby's butt when it comes to what they report. And so when they're coming out, that's not blind. That is the fact that there are things being said behind the scenes that says Ryan Day is not happy with what's going on, and nor should he be. But Ryan Day, he needs to take some responsibility in this as well. You are too late in the process in recruiting, and Devin and Mello, I'm going to turn it back over to you guys because you guys, along with JR, are really into the recruiting. Recruiting has changed so much that when you're sitting in the middle of August and you only have two offensive linemen in a class where you look to have probably four or five, you're behind the eight ball. It's too late. It's way too late. And so even if you say, all right, we're going to have to go to portal to make up for this, turn the page, let's go guns a-blazing for 2026. Even when you look at 2026, he's still behind everybody else in offers. He's flat out lazy. Let's call it like it is. When it comes to recruiting, the man is being lazy. You got to offer more people. Spread your net wider. Ryan Day knows this. I know he knows this. He needs to put his foot down and say, you either offer more people or you're out of here, and or it's time to move on. Yes, this is Natty or Bust season, and you got to be careful because you're in the midst of the season and you don't want to pull the rug out from under the guy and then it blows up in your face right when the season gets started with your offensive line. So I know he's probably trying to do a juggle act right now. And if you asked him man-to-man, if he was completely honest, he would probably say, I have to be careful here because that's the position coach for the offensive line, and we're going to need them to perform at a top level in 2024 if we're going to win a national championship. But don't be surprised, even if we win it all this year, the following that national championship, there's a change at offensive line. It's got to happen. Mello, I'll go back to you. Justin Fry, let him have it, man. What's your thoughts?
Okay, I just want to throw some stuff out there real quick, and I want to compare Perry Eliano's tenure at Ohio State with Justin Fry. They both came here in January 2022. The first year that they were here, Perry Eliano offered 13 kids, two committed, which was Sonny Styles and Kai Stokes, for a hit rate of 15.3%. That same year, Justin Fry offered 20 Four committed, Tegra, Fitzpatrick, Avery Henry, who's now medically retired. He had a bout with cancer, and I wish the best for him. Carson Hensman, which was a hit rate of 19%. 23 class, we offered 10 safeties, three committed, Malik Harford, Jaden Bonsu, Cedric Hawkins, who is now currently at UCF. He transferred there in April 2024 for a 30% hit rate. For Justin Fry, he offered 20, four committed, Miles Walker, which was the only presumed tackle in that class, and then three other inside offensive linemen, which are still here, who are Luke Montgomery, Josh Padilla, and Austin Saraville. At 24, Eliano offered 17, three committed, Garrett Stover, Leroy Roker, and Jalen McLean for a 17.65 hit rate, while Justin Fry offered 18, four committed, which were the Armstrong twins, Ian Moore, and Gabe Van Sickle for a 22.22 hit rate. So I read that to say this. Ryan Day has come out and said the most important thing in his assistance is recruiting. He fired Eliano for that very reason. The safeties were performing well last year, but he still had the boot because he wasn't landing the commits that they wanted, that Day wanted. The same thing could be said from Justin Fry. And then O-line, I feel, is worse because it's five positions instead of three. Or two if they wanted to switch their formation. But right now we're using three safeties. So in my opinion, Justin Fry is destroying this program because this is going to catch back up. Those 2026, they're just sitting here thinking that they're just going to automatically commit to Ohio State as soon as we send out the offer. That's not the case. Some of these kids might get better NIL somewhere else, or they might just be so teed off that you waited and made them go through so much stuff that they're just going to say double bird to you and just leave. Mm-hmm. And then what are you going to do with the amount of offers that are out? When I told the Tennessee podcaster about us only having two old linemen in the class, he laughed, flat out just laughed like, whoa, that's bad. That's exactly what he said. I was like, I know, you're telling me. So for me, I think it's time for a change. You let him play out this season and you could demote him to assistant. And let's go find a coach that could recruit, because he is very good at developing. So I'm not going to take that away from him. But the lifeblood is recruiting. And coming 2 years, you have two this year. What, we landed like four last year. That's going to catch up. You got to stack classes.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I kick it over to you next, Devin, because you have some great statistics I want you to bust out as well. When Chris and I interviewed the UCLA guys, I asked them about Justin Fry and Chip Kelly, and their exact response was, when you guys picked up Justin Fry, we laughed. And I went, ooh. It reminds me of when we had Washington. Remember when we picked up Washington from Michigan, and then he went to Notre Dame, and we all kind of went, good luck. Or now with, you know, some Tony Alford going up there. It's kind of what is happening here. You know, there's a saying, you are who you are in the back of your baseball card. Whether you're going through a hot streak or a cold streak, eventually you're gonna hit exactly what the back of your baseball card says. All right. Justin Fry's back of his baseball card says, decent developer, terrible recruiter. And here's the thing. They said to us, look, all of the development, quote unquote development, years of success he had at UCLA, that was all Chip Kelly stuff.
Yeah.
Well, this year the offensive line might look really good. Don't be surprised if it's Chip Kelly. Right? So just some food for thought. All right, Devin, kick us these statistics, man. You had some good stuff yesterday.
Yeah, I'm going to go down through a couple different things. And the avenue that I chose to go is all of these, I'm going to call them excuses that people are, and let me back up and first say that I'm not attacking Fry's character. I'm not attacking him personally. I don't know anything about the dude. I am also not complaining because we lost David Sanders or Josh Petty or any of that. This has nothing to do with that, right? So what I hear now, and credit to Juck for this next statistic I'm going to give y'all, but what I hear a lot is, oh, don't worry, right? We got the transfer portal. It's almost like what we heard when we kept missing out on like Jackson Lloyd and Micah DeBose. Oh, don't worry, we got David Sanders. Well, we see how that ended. Well, you're about to see how the transfer portal thing is going to end too, because in 2023, there were 44 stars, O-linemen, in the portal. Well, 2024 comes around, teams realize the value of them. You know, if they're good, they're going to stay at their team now. Teams are going to pay them. There were only 12 four-star O-linemen in the transfer portal in 2024. And just like Juck said on his show the other day, only about three of them, like, were skilled enough to come play at Ohio State. And out of those three, two had do not contact orders on my list. So that's dead, man. This whole thing about don't worry, we have the transfer portal. You have better luck of signing a four or five star out of the class, out of the top 300. You have better luck signing a top 300 than you do signing, you know, a skilled O-lineman out of the transfer portal. So that's number one, right? Then number two, let's hit development, right? For me, I hear a lot of people talking about Justin Fry's development. For me, this year's the year where we'll actually see that. I'm not sure there's much to say about his development now until we see what he did, right? And another pattern of it that I've seen kind of backs up what you said, Eric, about Chip Kelly, is that a lot of these like intense O-line guys, they will tell you that a good scheme will beat a skilled O-line every time. The scheme will determine how the O-line plays. So that's one part of that. And then the same thing what Mello brought up there. Eliana got fired for recruiting, right? So, I mean, how are we going to say that Fry doesn't deserve that same treatment of being fired if Eliana got fired and I thought the safeties played good? You know what I mean? So there's the even if Fry's developing well, Eliana was developing good. He got let go. And not only that, are all these recruits not seeing this good development that Fry has? If he's developing so good, you would think that some of these recruits are seeing him. And the last point on the development thing, the NCAA changed the rule now, man. So unless I'm missing something, you can bring in several people to develop. There's only one coach on the O-line that can recruit, that can leave the school, go out on the road and recruit. So it's on him. Now let's go to number two. I've actually heard this, that this is – and I'm there with it as far as Day needs to do something. But to say that it's Day's fault, I'm not there, man. And here's why I'm not there. Because from 19 to 22, right, Studs years when he was sending out offers, since Fry has been here with Day, the average number of offers has went down by 13. So Fry is offering 13 less people than Stud did. What's the common denominator there? Day, right? So I don't see how, you know, you can say, hey, Day's the reason why we're not offering that many, right? So there's that one. And then this whole committable offers thing. Like when we compare the 2026 class to Ohio State 16 and Alabama 30-something, Georgia. Well, I took 15 random teams in 2026. And out of those 15 teams that I took, the next closest offer for the O-line was 26, 10 away from us. Now, I did go back in there and I did a little bit more than 15. There's a couple teams with 20 and stuff like that. But, you know, out of 15 of them, so that's what they're doing, right? And I said it earlier, man, like, this is big boy football, right? The fact that teams like Alabama and Georgia and all them, they're giving us a blueprint on how to sign an O-line class, okay? So they're doing it. They're doing it. It's working fine. This day and age, recruiting is different, man, right? So I'll just straight up tell you that when you don't offer, especially an Ohio lineman, but when you don't offer a recruit and another team offers him first, what team do you think that kid's going to pay more attention to? You know, that should be common sense to me, right? But so you go to the Adam Guthrie thing, right? Texas just offered him. I said it on Juxo. I'll say it again. We're officially late, right? Recruiting has changed. That goes right into the Ohio lineman offers, right? This statistic, made me want to throw up when I saw it on another show today. Somebody put it in the chats. I went back to look, and I'm like, dude, this is crazy. But since 2012, that team up north has put five Ohio linemen in the NFL that did not have Ohio State offers, right? Ohio State has put three Ohio linemen in the NFL since then. So, you know, dude, this whole thing about – and even the committable offer thing. Let's go back to that, right? You say, well, Alabama, out of Georgia's 40 offers, they're really going to take 20 of them. Well, dude – I went and I averaged all of Fry's offers, right? So out of Fry's 80 offers since he's been here, he's got 24 visits, right? So, and then out of those 24 visits, he's got three commits. So that's three for 80 on the offers for out-of-state commits. That is 3.7% success rate. Judging by that success rate, Fry would have to offer 80 people to be able to only sign three linemen, right? And I do want to go to one more thing that I've heard people bring up quite a bit, and that's, well, this is Ohio State. They don't offer, right, more than other teams. Or I've heard people say, well, what's the D-line doing? Well, I'll tell you what the D-line's doing, right? So the D-line consists of four players. It takes four players to fill the starting roster. That's four for 22. That's 18%, right? I went back and I averaged the offers, all the offers Ohio State had, right? It takes 18% to fill the starting roster for the defensive line. Out of all the Ohio State offers, 20% of the offers were from the D-line. So out of that group, they are offering more than the percentage it takes to fill the starting roster. O-line, it takes 23%, 5 out of 22, right? Their average for the offers they're sending out is 15%, right? It's the only group on the team that is sending out less offer percentage of offers than what it takes to fill the starting roster, right? So I'm not saying, obviously, dude, strategy is jacked up, man. It's not right. So like all these things that people are saying about what we need to do, dude, something's got to change, right? Not only the strategy, right, but also relationship-wise, clearly, dude, if you have a 3.7% success rate for out-of-state commits, right, something's wrong. And not only that, like, so let's say you're offering less. So they have that argument of, well, you don't want to offer. Most of them are not committable. Well, Justin Fry offered Will Conroy in 2026, and he's not even talking to him, not even trying to build a relationship with him. He offered Andrew Stargell this year. And ghosted him, right? Just ghosted him. Finucu came on the visit. He got offered. I was told that they didn't press for him either. Why? Because they wanted to wait and see what happened with these higher rated players. Well, now look at the position that we are put in, right? So again, dude, something's got to change, man. Move Fry to an analyst. Let him develop if he's such a good developer. I don't even see that, dude, but it's not a knock on him. Something clearly has to change, dude. This is Ohio State. The name Ohio State should be able to get you four solid O-linemen every year just by the name. So it's like, not only are we not getting them, I feel like something's scaring them away. I don't know what's going on, dude, but something has to change, man, right? I don't know the solution. I do know more offers need to go out. Why? Because the blueprint's set for us. That works for those teams. It's going to work for us. Not only that, the relationship game has to step up. That's the effort. JR said it. They didn't have that. They didn't have a recruiting event at the end of the year. Well, Day said he wanted to give his staff a break. I get it. But unfortunately, the rest of the country isn't doing that. They're not giving their staff breaks. So therefore, that puts us behind the eight ball. I hate it. That's just the way it is. So, dude, I got several more pages. I think that's enough for now. The point is, something's got to change, man. It's obvious, dude. And I get that some of these other reporters out there, Justin Fry's probably a nice guy, and that's why a lot of them don't want to come out and say all this stuff. I'm not talking about him personally. I don't know him. I'm sure he's a nice, wonderful guy, but he cannot recruit O-linemen. That's a fact. There's no debating that.
Let me answer this question from Larry real fast, or statement from Larry, because Larry's right. He didn't want to be here. Correct. Why? I told y'all if it's NIL, Ohio State's going to win this thing. It wasn't. And the NIL package at Tennessee, I heard, was incredibly nice. But I've heard from several people who said the NIL offer from Ohio State was just as good. They would have matched. So it's not NIL, which means it's some other reason. Well, what's that reason? Closer to home. Girlfriend goes to Tennessee. I heard that rumor. I don't know if that's true or not. Whatever. But you can get girlfriend to come to Ohio State.
Yeah. The JR told us the answer earlier. They out-recruited us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He didn't like Fry. That's what I'm hearing.
Bottom line, he did not like Justin Fry.
Well, and I think Fry leaned way too much on Paris Johnson to close this recruitment for him. That's absolutely what it came down to. He had Paris Johnson recruit him. He wasn't doing his job.
Family friendly.
I kept it there. He wasn't doing his job. He sent Paris Johnson out to do it for him and thought that was going to get the job done. You know what? If you don't want to recruit, get out.
Yeah.
Please. It's that simple. Go.
JR, anything you want to add to that, brother?
Yeah. I have a lot I want to add.
Okay,
probably,
go for it.
I probably need to go after this, but I'll just say, Mark Gibler did a live today that was very informative for people, I think. And I think some people were misunderstanding a little bit of what he was trying to get at. I don't know if everything he said I take 100% to heart, but he said some things that made me want to dig a little bit more. So normally I don't do this, but I reached out to somebody that I know who would know this. And by the way, anybody out there that wants to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Go back and watch Mark Gibler. He talked about how, Zion Ziggy Grady, knew he was coming to Ohio State 2 to 3 months before he committed. Who told you that was going to happen first? Yeah. So I'm not normally that guy that flexes that stuff, but when people start saying you don't know what you're talking about, I do want to remind people. Yeah. Anyway, so I reached out to somebody that I knew and they told me, they said, let me start this way. I asked them, I said, you know, hey, everybody is freaking out about the offers right now. And I've been freaking out about the offers. Like, in your opinion, and in your opinion of what's going on with the staff right now, are they focusing on the offers? Are the offers as big of a deal as some fans are making them out to be? And the person told me, he was like, look, he said, do the offers need to increase? Yes. You can't have Ryan Day out here make it a fourth to half of the offers for Justin Fry. And that's what's going on. Ryan Day is putting a lot of offers out there for Justin Fry. He said, but you also can't have Justin Fry just not talking to recruits. He said, one of the reasons why Alabama, Georgia, and a lot of these different places are able to offer so many kids is because they know how to play the game. Now, it is a little different with Ohio kids, slightly. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. It is slightly different. But they know how to play this game. They know how to work with kids and not get them to commit, but also make sure they know, hey, we're still interested in you. And unfortunately, I don't think that Justin Fry gets that. I don't think that he understands how to offer a kid and say, hey, we really like you, and we're going to see what you do in your junior year. Here's A, B, C, D, and thing we want you to do, but we're going to stay in contact with you because we really like you and we think you're a really strong recruit. And so that's one of the reasons why, to them, the offers aren't such a big deal, because even if they put an offer out there, it's not a guarantee that Justin Fry is going to stay in contact with that recruit. Like, they could have the offer and have the piece of paper that says, oh, I've been offered by Ohio State. But if you don't have the text message from Justin Fry saying, hey, how you doing today? How was practice today? And staying in contact with him, or he's not going to the school and reaching out to the coach and saying, hey, I can't text the kid right now, but I can go and meet with him in his office during study hall or something like that. Like, if he's not doing that, are the offers really the issue? Yes, offers are an issue. But are the offers really as big of an issue as maybe we think? Possibly not. Because at the end of the day, it's just the actual person putting out the offers. Like, we can say, and that's what I was saying like a week or two ago, was like, I'm still willing to give Justin Fry a chance if he just puts more offers out there. But after talking to my guy I know, he was like, look, even if Justin Fry puts the offers out there, is he going to get the guys? Because he went, and it's kind of like what Mark Gibler was saying. He put out offers for 28 guys out of state and landed none of them. So if he puts out offers for more guys, is it a guarantee he lands them? Not a guarantee. He might. I mean, you put out an offer for Nolan Davenport, you probably do land him, but you put an offer out at this point, do you land him? I don't know. I mean, Nolan Davenport really, really wanted to come to Ohio State. Justin Fry said no. He said we need to see more. And Nolan Davenport didn't take that well. Now, I'm not talking directly to Nolan Davenport. That's what I heard, so I don't want to say, like, word for word, this is what Davenport said, but that's kind of the gist of it. So, like, what I'm trying to say here is, like, are the offers an issue? Yes. But let's not act like if Justin Fry just starts offering everybody, everything's going to be fixed. Because at the end of the day, Justin Fry still has to recruit them. And he's not a very good recruiter. So don't fall into this trap of, if we just offer more players, everything is fine. We do need to offer more players. But we also probably need somebody else recruiting them.
That was well said, JR. Couple things here, and then I know we got to take our commercial break, and JR's got to exit stage left. Busy, busy man, always podcasting, always building brands. That's what JR does. Sean Rollins gifted one membership. Thank you, Sean, for doing that. And it went over to Bradley Dunkel. So welcome to the Pod Squad gang, Bradley. And then there was another question about where do I get a membership? It's really simple. You just go to our YouTube page and you hit join. There's a join button at the top. You'll see everybody's little pictures and icons. You hit join. It's only $3.99 a month. After you've been a member for a month, you will get a free membership t-shirt. I might have it here, actually. Right here. Get yourself a free OHIO podcast membership t-shirt if you've been a member for a month, and all other kinds of perks, dude. So a bunch of great perks that you get, including our preview magazine sent right to your email if you like that as well, which very, very proud of that thing. The thing looks amazing. Chris, you're still not smiling, man. I feel bad for Chris right
Justin
now.
Justin Fry has stolen my smile.
Don't let him steal your – hey, listen. It's gonna be all right, man.
We need to kick this season off so I've got a reason to smile. Because right yes. now, if I have to hear any more about Justin Fry's.
Oh yeah, don't put it on Justin Fields. Okay, no, he's doing fine in Pittsburgh.
That's the problem. You hit it on the head, Chris.
Justin Fry. If I have to hear any more about his inability to recruit, and I'm just gonna, my head's gonna explode.
That sucks. I wasn't done yet, dude.
I mean, this guy makes me want to vomit every time I hear his name.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't agree more with you, dude. Davenport and Stargell should both already be in this class.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yes. Stargell absolutely. Wanted to be in so bad. So bad. He is nasty.
Hey, Dan knows his stuff. Dan knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming in and rubbing it in. Now, listen, Michael's a nice guy. Michael's a really nice guy, and he didn't come here and talk trash 13 more days, guys. It can't get here soon enough. Congratulations, Michael, on a big recruiting win. By the way, Tennessee was hammering recruits this weekend. Not just him. Like, they have landed some of the biggest recruits in the South in the 2026 class already.
And they still won't finish better than fourth in the SEC.
Ooh, ouchie, nope. Ouchie. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to let JR exit stage left. We come back. We all got all kinds of good stuff to talk about still. So hang tight, everybody.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
Okay, a little bit of a different look without JR here. That's the first time we've done five, and it worked out okay. We had some bugs at the beginning. That's why we got off to a little bit of a slow start this evening. But here we are, back to four. Now, remember, next Sunday is our big preview show. We're going to be busting out predictions, and it's a lot of fun. We do it every year, the Sunday right before the season kicks off. By the way, we have five previews left in 2 weeks that are going to be coming out your way. You got the team up north. You got Ohio State. We got Northwestern. We've got Nebraska. Who's the other one?
Michigan.
Trying to remember. No, I already said them.
Oh.
Team up north, Ohio State, Northwestern, Nebraska, Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Those are the five, and they're all going to be coming out in 2 weeks. So make sure you visit our YouTube channel every single day. There's going to be videos, maybe multiple videos, coming out every single day on our channel. Plus, these two guys, the Buckeye Boys, will have episode number two hopefully coming out to you as well very soon. So that'll be a lot of fun. That'll be really great. So be on the lookout for that as well. And then we'll have our call-in show, as always, guys. Call-in show will be this Thursday, and it's going to be great. Like, there's all kinds of good stuff to look forward to, guys. So be on the lookout every single day. And if you haven't already, please consider joining, becoming a member of the OHIO podcast, all those great perks, including – very soon, we're going to be opening up a Discord channel for all you members as well. So it's a great place for the Pod Squad gang to hang out. It's going to just turn into the Pod Gang, isn't it, guys? No. It's going to be just the Pod Gang.
That's what it is, man. It's too late.
That's what it should be.
People have spoken.
The Pod Squad sounds better.
Pod Right. Gang, baby.
You know what? David Sanders would have been better too, dude, but it just didn't happen for it, man. I just took it, Chris. Chris, I want no smoke, brother. It was just there. I had to take it, dude. Sorry.
Look at Chris, man. He's so angry right now.
I love you, bro.
Okay, guys. Let's go here next, man. So if you guys head over to our website, theohiopodcast.com, we have three new articles up for you all to read today, including the news about the team captains, the Blocko, and Archie Griffin. Let's start with the Blocko. So this is year number 5 of the Blocko tradition. I love this tradition. I love what it stands for. I love what it means. I think it looks as cool. Like, out of everybody's zero jersey in college football, Ohio State's looks the best because it's the O for Ohio State, right? Like, it's awesome. And I think they chose the right guy. I think, yeah. Cody Simon, I think he's the man. He's in the middle of the defense. That Blocko in the middle of the defense is going to look great. There's going to be all kinds of sweet pictures from that. And I think the dude deserves it. The guy came in, was a big time recruit, has dealt with multiple injuries. He could have left years ago, absolutely, hit the transfer portal and went to Kentucky or Louisville or went back to the East Coast. But he stuck it out, and here he is. He's going to be a starter in year number 5 at Ohio State, and they honored him with the Blocko. Mello, I'll start with you. Your thoughts, man, on Cody Simon getting that big Blocko jersey.
I love it. And you know why he stuck with it? Because he's a Jersey guy from Jersey City, St. Peter's Prep, baby. We don't quit and leave when the going gets tough. We stick it and we fight it out. And we're going to see some great things from Cody this year. He's grading out pretty highly. They say he's the leader of the defense. And if you hear James Laurinaitis talk about him, it's just impressive. And if it's coming from him, you know it's legit, because that guy still holds the all-time tackle record for the Rams. I'm looking forward to him running this defense and being the captain of this defense and the captain of this team and being the leader of this team, along with Emeka and Sawyer and Trey. It's going to be a special year. It's Natty season, as Devin knows.
Yeah. I did not know this. Jonathan Cooper still wears – is he number 0 in the NFL?
I did not know that. I'm going
to look. I'll have to look that up. That would be cool. That would be cool. All right, Chris, your thoughts, man, on the Blocko, this year's recipient.
Yeah, I love it. I think Cody Simon is a natural leader. And if you look, the guys who have had that title given to them in the past, same thing. They were leaders on the field. They were leaders off the field. I think this guy exemplifies hard work, leadership. And I'm with Mel. I look forward to see what this guy's going to do, because I look at this guy and I see the same type of tackling we saw out of Tommy Eichenberg, but a more athletic guy. So I'm really excited to see what he does out there.
Do you remember that picture that came out of him a couple years ago? He just was ripped.
Ripped.
Like, practice jersey and practice shorts are ripped because of how huge he was. Yeah, and then he got hurt, unfortunately, because he was making a move. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He was making a move then he gets hurt, and then Tommy takes over that position and never relinquished it. And, yeah, some of the people are talking about it in the chat. He probably should have played more.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when Tommy was injured and really was limited, he probably should have played more. Yeah.
And James Devin knows that.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was James' call last year, though.
It is now, though.
I think he owns the room now. Yeah, I do. Devin, your thoughts, man.
Dude, I agree with the decision. I love that he has it. I mean, dude, this started, right? He comes back, wants to play again. Starts in the weight room, man. Back in the winter workouts, we'll hear about this dude in there just going psycho. And then, you know, I remember I always bring up Juck, dude. But on Juck's show, man, he had those plaques that show where everybody stands athletically on the team. And this dude is pretty much top 10 and dang near every category on there. So the dude was way more athletic than I realized. But, man, like I said, it started in the weight room with always hearing good reports about him, what he's doing in there. I know he has been on Dude of the Week a couple times and stuff like that. So he's also going to be wearing, Has that been like officially announced? Is he going to be wearing that? What do they call it? The green dot or something on defense?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So you got that there too. And like you guys said, dude, I feel like I should have played more last year. It also helps that you have the future Ohio State head coach coaching his position this year. So that helps as well.
Yeah. Yep. So let's talk about those captains. Melo, you brought them up. You got on defense, you got Cody Simon and you've got Jack Sawyer. Or as like we used to – like we called him Captain Jack Sawyer. We gave him that nickname years ago, and now it finally fits, finally. Yeah. And then you have on the offensive side, you have Emeka Egbuka. And I can never say his name without thinking about one of our listeners' little boys at the tailgate when we asked him, who's your favorite Buckeye? And he go, Emeka Egbuka. It was so good. Emeka Egbuka. And then you also have on the offensive side, Travion Henderson. You know, what's interesting is you have three of those four guys came back. They all kind of speared the coming back. Now, years past, Melo, Urban Meyer got into this thing and Ryan Day kept it going too, where they had like 7-8 captains. And it was a thing where in the past, you only had three or four regardless. And they've gone back to that now. I was kind of surprised they didn't have more given how many older guys there are. But your thoughts, did they get the right guys in your opinion? And if they were to add a fifth one, who do you think they should have added?
They definitely got the right guys. And the fifth one is easy. It's Denzel Burke, the truth teller. Like, he's the leader of the secondary, which is the best group on the team overall. And that guy started since his day one as a freshman, and he's been here and he's doing his thing. And just to make something, point out something real quick for the chat and everybody else, Cody Simon was actually the first one to announce that he was going to come back. And then it was Jack. Cody led that charge. He initiated it and he got Jack on board, and then Jack went and did what Jack does, which is get other people on board. The NIL for them to stay also helped. So let's not get that all twisted. But that's one of the reasons we're going to win a natty this year, because everybody decided to come back. And I absolutely think Denzel Burke should be a captain.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm with Melo on that. That's the only omission I saw was Denzel Burke. I mean, the guy is he's an outspoken leader. But you know what? These other guys, I cannot argue with. These are the guys that came back and said right out of the gate, you know, we've got unfinished business. Jack Sawyer, you know, an interview with him, I saw him say that, you know, he felt like he'd let down the city of Columbus. He felt like he let down the university, the university. I the way these guys have taken ownership of this and said, we got to go out and do this. You know, that's what a captain is. They take the ownership, they take the lead, and they go out and do it by example on the field as well as with their words. I don't think you could have a better group of captains than what we got with the, you know, obvious omission of Denzel Burke.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the players choose the captains with the approval from the coaching staff. Meaning the coaching staff has veto power if they need to, but this is more of a player led thing, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So this is a good comment. Ryan might not want Denzel's truth.
That's probably true.
That is probably true. Oh, there's one thing I did leave out. I don't know if Dev was going to touch on this, but Cody Simon got the most votes.
Really? I didn't hear that. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right, Devin, you're up, man. Did we get it right? And who should have they added if they'd had a fifth?
That's all I had. I was just going to say he got the most votes and I was going to be done, but I'm just joking. Bro, I'll just mess with you, bro. When I was speaking to Cody earlier, that's the thing, dude. He led the charge and these players coming back. Maybe not in the most vocal way. I would give that to Jack. He was pretty vocal about getting all these players to come back. But, I mean, Jack would have been my number two for the Block O personally, right? That would have been my number two pick. But I mean, Trey, look at the sacrifice Trey made coming back and then letting Quinshon come in this room, being cool with it, and open arms and all that stuff. Look at the sacrifice Emeka made for this team, dude. You know, probably second round pick in the NFL, dude, injury prone dude, comes back, man, like for this team. So every one of those players has made a sacrifice for the team. They're leaders. They get talked about all the time, dude, not only like physical leaders in the weight room, but you got Trey and Emeka being spiritual leaders. You got Cody being the leader of the defense on the field. You got Jack Sawyer just stepping his game up, man, taking it serious. And I love it. I love that there was only four, but like you guys said, dude, you know, Burke, and there's several people several more people could have been captains as well. So I love the picks, man.
There's now you guys mentioned the obvious one in Burke, but what about Josh Fryer? He's had an amazing offseason from what I've heard. Yeah. I kind of want a lineman to be a captain.
I was going to say Donnie Jackson, but I heard in the weight room that dude tears it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, no offensive linemen were chosen by their own peers. Dude, just a whole nother swing and a miss by the leader of that room.
Just Fry, dude. I'm telling you.
I mean, God. Well,
think back to that bowl game. Would you have voted for him?
Oh, gosh, no. No. That's true.
Show me.
Speaking of Missouri, the show me state, right? Yeah. I'm getting more gray hairs because of Skeeter from Missouri.
And that's the thing that makes it so much more annoying with how Justin Fry recruits, because we lost that game because it's literally the offensive line. I'm not putting any blame on Lincoln, because if he had time, he would have found people open. The receivers were starting to get open in the beginning, but he didn't have time. As soon as they hiked it, he was on his back. Whose fault was that?
Yeah.
Missouri beat us in that bowl game, and they also beat us for two offensive line recruits this year that we offered. So,
Speak on it.
And listen to this one. Not only did they beat us for two offensive linemen, they went into Pennsylvania. They got the top quarterback out of Pennsylvania in their class, who's borderline five-star quarterback. Watch out, dude. Missouri's for real. Like, they are – Drinkwitz is building a program over there.
I know.
They were
picked
to win the SEC this year.
I like him.
I got Ole Miss.
That's next week's show, guys. That's next week's show.
Just edit it out.
Oh, God. No, we're live, bro. The whole world just heard that. Okay. I love it. I love the Blocko. Like, I've really thought about trying to go and get all the Blocko jerseys autographed from every guy who's ever had it. The Blocko, I think that would be incredibly cool, piece of memorabilia to hang up, man. But it just makes sense at Ohio State, and I love it, you know, with Willis and the history that it has to represent. And so I think it's really, really – it's a really cool tradition that Ryan Day started. This is a Ryan Day thing that he started. So he does have his stamp on one of the new cool traditions. All right. Speaking of traditions, only 12 people in the history of this world have ever got to dot the I that was not a sousaphone player in the band. Only 12. And even thinner than that, I believe like only 5 weren't associated to the band, if I'm not mistaken. I might have to – someone in the chat, look me up. You got Bob Hope, all right? You've got Earl Bruce, Woody Hayes. You've got Jack Nicklaus. And you've got – one of the presidents, wasn't there a president that got the dot the I? The astronaut that was Apollo, John Glenn. There's 5. Am I missing anybody that wasn't associated with the band? I think that might be it. The rest were all band people, like former band directors and things like that. Okay, if I got that right, Archie Griffin is about to become the first ever former player to dot the I. Unless, did Earl Bruce play for Ohio State?
I don't believe so.
No,
I
know it's just, no.
He wasn't a player, right?
No.
Dude, what an honor. And then, on top of that, this is all going to happen a week from Saturday on the 31st when we play Akron. So he'll get to dot the I. But the day before, on the 30th, did you all hear about this? They are unveiling at the Rotunda a statue of Archie Griffin at the Horseshoe. It's about dang time that the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner in the history of the world, he is one of one. There is nobody else who has ever walked the face of the planet or is walking the earth today that has won two Heisman Trophies. And it took us until 2024 to give this guy a statue when Brutus freaking Buckeye has 20 around the campus. What are we doing? My gosh. There has never been a greater ambassador to the University of the Ohio State than that man right there, Archie Griffin. It's about stinking time. And Ross Bjork pulled this off in 3 months. It's not even that. July's when he took over. What the heck, Gene? He's done more to honor the tradition and excellence of Ohio State football in 2 months of being athletic director. I love it, dude. To me, I love this, man. I absolutely love this. If there's a day I'm going to take off work and be like, boss, I'm calling in sick tomorrow, just so you know, it might be August 30th. I might be there for this event, man. I want to see this in person. Archie Griffin unveiled this trophy. Apparently, it is very similar to the one he just unveiled the other day when he was out in Pasadena at the Rose Bowl. But, gosh, can you imagine that? Being when the players exit the St. John's Arena during skull session and they walk from St. John to the stadium, they will be passing by the excellence made in bronze of Archie freaking Griffin. This is the best thing that has happened at Ohio State in a long, long time. Mello, your thoughts, man.
I think it's awesome. I think we have the right AD to bring us into the next 10 years. And hopefully we'll get our Orlando Pace one day and he'll be able to dot the I. And on another note, I just wanted to let you know about, I found out about Jonathan Cooper. He most certainly is wearing zero for the Denver Broncos.
Dude, that's sweet, dude. That's sweet. That's sweet. But
what was Gene doing all these years, man? Besides holding Ohio State back.
Playing politics. Playing politics.
Same thing as Justin Fry, not his job.
Building buildings and playing politics. Like building Olympic sports venues and playing politics.
So hey, can you take Justin Fry with him to retirement?
What's that?
I want him to take Justin Fry with him to retirement.
Right.
Hey, Earl Bruce did play for Ohio State, 1950 fullback.
There you go. Okay. Thank you. Good call. So he's the second former Buckeye. Mm-hmm. What a cool dude, Earl Bruce. There's a trivia question. Who was the first former Buckeye player to dot the I? It was not Archie Griffin. Very good.
That heavyweight boxer too.
James Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
I remember when he knocked out Tyson when I was a kid.
I was so angry when that happened.
Wasn't that for his mama?
Dude, I loved that.
Knocked out my hero.
I loved it.
Happened? Did anybody? Hey, does anybody know? Chat. See if anybody can jump on chat. Where did it happen at?
I know. In fact, I just said it.
What?
It was in Tokyo.
Yeah, Tokyo, Japan. Yeah, he knocked out Tyson in Tokyo, Japan.
I was watching it live on HBO.
The question was that your neighbor's HBO that you were plugging into, or was it yours?
Nah, we were watching our own HBO.
Okay.
He looked away. He lied.
Dude, I remember that. It was such a shocker. Like, it was the most shocking thing that had happened in sports since the United States beat Russia in the Olympics in 1980 in Lake Placid. Like, it was the biggest upset since then. Chris, your thoughts, man, on Archie Griffin getting his statue in the outside the rotunda?
Like you said, Eric, it's about time. This guy, not just arguably the best player in Ohio State history, he's a college football icon, being the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner, a tremendous ambassador for the university. I don't know. I've had the chance to meet him on multiple occasions. Just a genuinely nice person. Great player. And, you know, like you said, Ross Bjork has done more in a few months than Gene Smith has done in a few decades. I think we're going to see a lot of the wrongs made right with Bjork in charge now. And I think it's great. I think it's absolutely wonderful. There is no one more deserving. And I'm really, the thing that's great, and I mean, I know he's not quite that old, but I'm just glad he's here to see it. Now, hopefully they can get Tressel out there to dot the I, while he can still is still able to do that himself as well.
This is a hilarious comment. I won money that night from my buddies. I took Douglas at 10-1 odds with them and actually won. I ended up spending it all at the bar buying those degenerate drinks all night.
Boy, you are my hero.
Oh, gosh. That's hilarious. All right, Devin, man. Archie Griffin getting a statue, man. This is big time, brother.
Yeah, so we know Ross is a football guy, right? I just wish I was a fly on the wall when he's going down through this list and like trying not to double up and trying to pick somebody for to dot the I. I wonder what he said when he found out he's never dotted the I. You know what I mean? Like what was his reaction to find out that Archie Griffin has never dotted the I before? But everybody's already said it, dude. It's deserved. So excited.
Yeah. I'm pumped about it, dude. This is well overdue. This should have taken place years ago.
Yeah. Does anybody know if Tress could coach the O-line?
Well, I was about to say, Mello.
We just need a recruiter.
He can recruit. He can recruit for sure.
I was about to say that, speaking of dotting the I, Gene Smith and the band missed it big time last year when Ohio State played Youngstown State. Yeah. And Tress was there, sweater vest on with one Ohio State, one Youngstown logo. He could have dotted the I then, but Gene Smith is holding on to a grudge and doesn't want to give his flowers to Tressel. There's going to be a time when that gets to happen.
Gene Smith was so worried about his ego more than anything else that prevented him from doing so many things that were right for this program.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you, man. Anything else, guys, before we head out of here?
Dude, 2024, 2025, Natty Lock, man. We're winning a Natty this year.
Natty Lock, baby.
And we're going to do it next year, too. And we're going to beat Oregon by 14 points. I'll give any bettors plus 13. Oregon. So.
Woo! And Dad's good for it.
Now, you know, I'm telling you, I've been on record as saying this team is undefeated national champs this year, Dev. But let me tell you, I don't know that I would be willing to lay down 13, man. That's a pretty big spread.
Oh, for sure. Dude, my fan glasses are on that and all for 100%, dude. They are. I'm not going to lie about it.
Somebody's trying to get me fired up there in the chat again, Eric. My favorite topic of debate with you has been brought up multiple times in the chat.
Oh, yeah? What's that? Yeah. Yeah. So this is – and by the way, Sean, thank you for – Sean's our only mod in the chat right now, and he's taking care of business. Thank you, Sean.
Yo, don't kick out Poppy. That's my boy from the Army. He's a UGA fan. He's going to talk his trash, man.
I gotta clear up. I'm willing to take $100 bet for the plus 13 Oregon. Just one. So after that, no more.
All right. So there'll be another show in the off season where Chris and I can go into all the things we dislike about certain things. And one of my pet peeves is next man up. I hate that. I think it's crap. How many times have next got an injury, next man up, and that guy sucked? Like, okay, like I hate that. I hate that saying. Like, I cannot stand it. So, sometimes next man up ain't a good thing, okay? But there's other sayings too. But that one is a debate Chris and I have had. I think those guys should get their wins back and they should get apologies. And Chris is like, nope, not going to do it. So
they broke the rules when it was a rule. They screwed up. They faced the consequences. Unlike the clowns up north who have yet to face anything, they broke the rules when it was a rule. Deal with it.
So, Troy, here we go. Yeah, I opened up the can of worms, didn't I? Next man up is all you got, though. Yeah. And it's not good sometimes. So why do we?
That's all we got because Fry didn't recruit anybody.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I will say this though, like, if Carson Hensman is not, is if Carson Hensman is not, that's funny, Dennis. If Carson Hensman is not starting, you do realize we have a starter from last year's team who's a backup though. Like, that does speak a little bit to the depth we've built for this season.
For one position.
Yeah, but he can play multiple. He can play guard and center.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And by the way, I'm pumped about Tegra Tshabola getting that opportunity.
I am, too.
I'm pumped absolutely. About that.
Yeah, he's going to be a dog, man. I want to know who the third tackle is. Anyway, we're going down something here.
Who's the third tackle? I say Justin Fry is the third tackle. Since he can't recruit, now you got to go play.
Oh, man. I would love that. I just want that in practice one time.
I agree.
Let's put him in there against, I don't care whether it's Jack or JT. Just let one of those two guys whack the snot out of him one time. That's all I'm asking.
Bull rush.
Oh, gosh.
I almost said that comment that just popped up there, but I didn't want to get into it.
Yeah, that's a whole nother show, and Chris and I will go around in circles for hours, and it never gets anywhere. So, and we just get mad at each other. It's actually quite entertaining, believe it or not. But anyways, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you, Mello and Devin, for jumping on here tonight and talking about this. We had to talk about the offensive line and recruiting, and since Mello was there in person, I wanted to get his personal in-live take of what took place. Devin was bringing stats and receipts. That was fantastic yesterday on Juck's show. By the way, since we're talking about Juck, I'll let you all know Juck and I are working on bringing together fan podcasts for a watch party when Ohio State goes to Northwestern in November. And so I can announce it is a go. So Juck on Bucks, the OHIO podcast, the best darn podcast in the land, are getting together, and we might be even getting another podcast, and all four of us are going to be doing a live watch party followed with a post-game show in North Columbus, Powell area, Lewis Center area. And so my wife and I are going to go start looking at locations the next couple weeks and find one. And so if you want to join us live, we're have a lot of fun. We're going to do 50-50. We're going to do giveaways. You can meet all of us. You can watch the game with us. And then, of course, we'll have the post-game show. Troy, I see your comment. Yeah, you might go. I know some people are going to that game because it's at Wrigley Field. I want nothing to do with Chicago. I am avoiding that place.
Or Wrigley Field.
I've driven through Chicago multiple times. I'm staying away. So I'm going to be in the friendly confines of Ohio, Central Ohio, and we're going to have a great time that day. And so I want to send that out there. Steely's going. He's got tickets already. Good luck, buddy. Good luck. I hope it goes well for you. So it's going to be awesome. Troy lives in Chicago, so not really a problem. Okay. Oh, that makes sense. It's going to be great. We'll get a flyer out for everybody when we nail down the location and who's all going to be there, what podcasts are going to be participating. Also, Buckeye Fangirl, Lisa dropped her first video of this season. She does every season. She does a weekly show, weekly video every single week during the season. She's been off all season, and so she just dropped her first video this morning. So go check out Buckeye Football Fangirl. Lisa, she's a fan of the show, a friend of the podcast, and we want to support her as well. So go check that out. Mello and Devin, you guys will be back this week, yeah?
Yes. Yep. Buckeye Boys, baby.
The Buckeye Boys will be dropping episode number 2 this week. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel for all of that. And that should be about it. Be on the lookout for all of our previews. We just dropped Maryland yesterday. That was sad. they're not going to be good. They're not going to be good. The offensive line is terrible for them. But we dropped Maryland yesterday. We have 5 more to go. That team up north is next. We have Ohio State. We have Northwestern. We've got Rutgers, and we've got Nebraska. And so it's going to be a good time getting those. Be on the lookout for those. And then our big show next Sunday, all 5 of us will be back. It's going to be the prediction show every year. Every year,
that's the best time.
I give out a crazy prediction, and I've got a couple this year. And I think some of them could be legit. I always like the who gets fired first question. I think that's a lot of fun.
But you know what, Eric? I finally got it right. After predicting for 3 years that it was going to be Nick Saban's last season, I got it right.
Every year, Chris, this will be the year Nick Saban retires. Every year. And then finally, he's like, I told you. Well, the dude was 70-some years old. I mean, eventually he's going to retire. So, I mean, come on, man.
Hey, he sold his soul to Satan, man. He, you know, he had as long as he wanted.
So this week, my Twitter spat has been with Iowa people. So Iowa does not like the fact that Kirk Ferentz was ranked 6th in our coaches' rankings. They took exception to that. Oh, yeah.
Lower bonus.
What's that?
Lower.
Oh,
it should be lower.
They were like, he's at least top 4. And I'm like, no.
What clinic?
Was a not with a longevity bonus. That was
597 winning percentage, over 140 losses in his career, and 0 offensive mind. Like, no way, guys.
And he's only
no way.
Them because they were in the Big Ten West. Which sucks.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. A lot of fun, guys. This has been a great show. We will see you all this week. We'll see you in different shows. We'll see you next week. Thursday night, live call-in show. Mello, Devin, you guys doing anything Thursday night?
Nah.
Yeah.
You guys want to do the call-in show?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Because Chris and I are going to be busy this week.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh.
I'll be there to run the board for you.
Yeah, we'll get okay.
Yeah, we'll do the call-in show for sure.
Cool. Mello and Devin, they're going to be taking care of the call-in show Thursday night, guys. You heard it here first. So it's going to be a lot of fun for them. We did get a $9.99 super chat. Hippo character with a pink hat flips it backward and raises his thumbs up in the air.
It's an emoji.
I'm sure it makes sense if you're watching on YouTube. So I love how I love how Evie Mux describes it. I love it, man. Awesome. Bob Googs. Love the content, Eric, Christopher, Devin, and Mello. Thank you. Appreciate that, Googs. Appreciate that very much, man. All right, guys. Be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH. Sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time. OH!
I-O.
Go Bucks!
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.